broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, absolutely brilliant, and one of the great solutions we have at our fingertips for peaceful restoration, or any word you want to use along those lines. We believe it's peaceful. We reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, and I had a wonderful New Year's Eve / day. Hope you did as well, and now we kick it all off. It all starts now. Quick recap of the New Year's Eve day show. We had our guest on, Mr. Scott Bradley, to Preserve the Nation, freedomsrisingsun.com. And if you check out his website, Freedom's Rising Sun, you'll know that he does these webinars weekly that are incredible breakdowns of the problems we face in America and the solutions to resolve them. Just does a phenomenal job. We talked about our brother in Liberty, David Knight, well-known InfoWars anchor reporter. And he suffered a heart attack and he was scheduled to undergo serious surgery. Please pray for David. Our prayers continue. I sure hope things go well for him. He's a great guy, by the way. A partial list of victories that Liberty Council Action lobbied for this year regarding the sanctity of life. We covered that in detail. More than 80 constitutional judges were confirmed. States can defund abortion providers. I wish we'd do more of that. Medical personnel who have religious and moral exemptions, they don't have to perform abortions or other actions that are in contradiction with their faith. Churches, company, and affiliated hospitals have the freedom to not provide abortions, assisted suicide, transgender surgeries, etc. That's great news. State governments cannot discriminate against churches or individuals or organizations who do not provide for and or refer for abortions. Abortion insurance must be collected separately from a taxpayer-funded insurance premium. Family planning funding is now separated from groups that refer to and or provide abortion services. Groups have 1 year left to separate their abortion facilities from other locations. In other words, you know, at first you say, well, this is just nothing. Look, they'll take money with one hand and perform these services with the other hand. That's all true. And this isn't a complete stoppage of the funding like I wish it was. We need more in this regard in 2019. That's no doubt about it. But it is good that we're saying, look, we're not going to let you just directly fund this. We're going to make the funding indirect. If we can't stop the funding, we're at least going to make it indirect. And it is a little bit of game playing, but it is a genuine effort, I believe, to take steps in the right direction. Is it what we want? Not even close. We want a peer double down and pro-life agenda. That's what we stand for. But I will say that it's a start. It isn't enough, but it is a start, and it is something. At least people are working on it. They're trying. We also talked about the continuation of the Hyde Amendment and the Mexico City policy, which ends taxpayer-funded abortions around the world. And defending the UN Population Fund, which pushes abortions worldwide. Those are good things. I know we got a lot more to go, but that's a great start. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live New Year's Eve Day. Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA.org. He usually joins us every Friday, but because he had some time off and because he was in Utah, we went out to lunch with him and spent some time with him. We appreciate all of his efforts for the sacred cause of liberty. And we talked about there's no liberty with innocence in prison. We talked about Jerome Corsi / Larry Klaiman, both good friends of ours. Sue Mueller. Yeah, they got a hearing coming up January the 3rd before Judge Leon. Do you want to respond to this one, Kurt?
Very
this,
good,
in my
Sam.
Mind, is important.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said about it, you know, and there are a number of items on the menu, if you will. Looks like as the new year unfolds, there's a number of things we want to be, I guess you could say, focused on. One thing, ladies and gentlemen, we always want to make sure that you know how grateful we are for your participation, and hope you will continue in that same manner.
Now, Larry Klayman says Judge Leon is a good guy, and anyway, the government tried to say, because of the shutdown, can we delay this case? And Larry Klayman and Jerome Kirshy said, oh, no, you don't. You're not going to just delay this case. Let's get after it. Let's get to the truth here. Let's double down. And so the judge denied the government on this. And as far as I understand, January 3rd, what's that, Kurt? Tomorrow? 3 p.m.?
That's correct.
Will be the initial beginnings of the court case, if you will. And there's supposed to be a press conference after that. And I'm going to see if we can't get Larry Klayman back on Friday. He was supposed to be on with us on Monday. But I think he had some conflicts, couldn't make it. I know he's doing his best to be everywhere. He's kind of like Kurt Crosby. He really needs to be in like 36 places at the same time. But anyway, he's only one person. He's doing an incredible job, though. We commend him. We support any effort to get transparent honesty in government. California sheriff is slamming sanctuary cities and said, hey, man, 7 more individuals got arrested after this cop slaying took place by an illegal alien. So there you go. We talked about Democrats are claiming they have enough GOP votes to block the border wall. John Kelly says Trump's border barrier, not even a wall. He claims the administration gave up on the, quote, cement wall early on. Donald says that's not true. Who do you believe, huh? Donald Trump's biggest wins and losses of 2018. Texan used a gun to save wife from 2 armed robbers, says the sheriff. Well, good for the sheriff and good for the man defending his wife, and shame on the robbers, huh? Brazil's president-elect plans to create wider gun ownership. Well, that's good news. But I want to challenge this create word. Okay, governments don't create gun ownership. They might tolerate it, allow it. But look, in our view, as constitutional advocates, governments don't create rights, folks. Okay? They might grant privileges in certain areas. I get it. But we need to be very careful when we talk about God-given unalienable rights. Governments do not grant them, and governments are wrong when taking them away. And so I appreciate this headline, the president-elect might be more friendly to our right to keep and bear arms. That's good news. But this idea that he's granting some right or that he's creating something, it's bogus. Okay, the right to keep and bear arms or the right of self-defense is a critical right. The founders understood it. We understand it. And it's a double keep your hands off in the Constitution/Bill of Rights. All right, Donald Trump does a good thing right before the end of the year, and he ordered a pay freeze for federal civilian staff. That's the New York Times bringing that out. And Donald talked about it. Nobody thought he'd get it done. And while the mainstream press was lying about President Trump, saying that he wasn't working over the holidays, Donald Trump rolled out that executive order. Now, this is, in my opinion, important to understand. We don't really... How do I say this? While our national debt is just blowing out of this world in terms of increase, we shouldn't be paying federal workers just more and more money automatically with, quote, cost of living increases and such like that. Nobody in the private sector, I should say rarely in the private sector, you just get automatic cost of living increases. Why should it happen in government? Is the businessman Donald Trump's general point, and he's right on. Especially when they got the government shut down. Am I for a government shutdown? Well, I'm always for the shutdown of unconstitutional government. I say shut it down permanently. But I'm not for shutting down the proper role of limited constitutional government. I'm just not. And what bothers me is Congress is getting paid a chunk of change in their salary when they're not even at work. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds today. Anyway, that's a recap of Monday's show. Tuesday, we took a little bit of a break. In 18, we were off. Only a few days. Christmas Day was one of them. 2019, we started off by taking a break. And I'm willing to be live almost any holiday. The one I won't be live on ever is Christmas. But on New Year's Day, we're oftentimes live. On the 4th of July, we're oftentimes live. It really just depends on what our families are doing. After all, this broadcast is about God, family, and country, right? So we're never live on the Sabbath day. We believe it's a day of rest. That's the God part. Family, you know what? We're alive whenever it doesn't interrupt our families too much to be alive. And our families are willing to sacrifice in that regard to make sure we stay alive. But once in a while, it is time to take a break. And, well, the first was one of them for us. So thanks for your understanding on that regard. But we are live 6 days a week, more than any other talk show. I'll tell you that right now. So there you go. All right, News the Networks Refuse to Use starts now. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. Now, we had a big old discussion on Monday about abortion and how I believe pro-life is one of the, if not the most important discussions to have and to push for and to work on, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Kurt emailed me after the show a story that just needs to be covered. Kurt's supposed to send these to me, you know, before the show. But anyway, this is worth talking about for sure, Kurt. Abortion, leading cause of death in 2018, with 41 million murdered in 18 alone, Kurt.
Yeah, good point, Sam. You know, and you see this Breitbart piece, you're just not going to see it other places. You're going to see, hey, you know, somebody else got shot in, you know, Philadelphia or whatever, but what about all these little boys and girls, you know, dying?
41 million in what, 2018 alone, Kurt?
Right.
And that's only the ones that we know about or admit to?
Good point.
All right, hang tight. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable live in seconds.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, so while Donald's talking about pro-life, and I appreciate him for talking about it, it's more than most presidents have done, and he's actually made plenty of good, bold moves that you don't hear about towards the pro-life agenda. But the Republican Congress, I'm really going to push hard on, Kurt. They haven't moved the needle. They could have defunded Planned Parenthood. They could have done so many things, but they literally spent their time fighting with the president instead of doing what they ought to do. And 41 million babies dead. In 2018 alone, while we're discussing this topic, huh?
Good point, Sam. And, you know, it's interesting. They look at these, they get these numbers. They say as of the 31st of December 2018, there have been 41.9 million abortions performed in the course of the year. and something they called worldometers. It's like a speedometer, but worldometer revealed. They say, by contrast, they say 8.2 million people died from cancer in 2018, 5 million from smoking, 1.7 million died of HIV/AIDS. This thing called worldometers. That's
how many from drinking?
I've ever heard of it. It doesn't give that.
How many car crashes?
They're voted one of the best free reference websites by the American Library Association. They say it keeps a running tally through the year of major world statistics, including population, births, deaths, automobiles produced, books published, and CO2 emissions.
The reason I ask all those questions, though, is think about it. It's the leading cause of death, Kurt.
Yeah, that's right. They say it also records the total number of abortions in the world based on the latest statistics on abortions published by the WHO. Yeah, that's the World Health Organization. Globally, they say just under a quarter of all pregnancies, or 23%, that's just under, were ended by abortion in 2018, and for every 33 live births, 10 infants were aborted. There were, they say, more deaths from abortion in 2018 than all deaths from cancer, malaria, HIV, AIDS, smoking, alcohol, and traffic accidents combined. So
yeah, and that's why I ask about those numbers, just to prove, look, abortion, intentional destruction of life with government sanction and funding, is the leading cause of death in America.
That's right. A little more sad news that goes along with it. 2018 saw the repeal of Ireland's Eighth Amendment. That's one of the last laws recognizing and protecting the right to life of unborn children. And the UK, they're going down that same road. They say they released these figures just before the Christian celebration of the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Do you know about the Feast of the Holy Innocents, Sam?
No, Kurt.
I didn't know that either. But anyway, I guess they celebrate that on the 28th of December, that commemorates the decree by King Herod that all male children in Israel under the age of 2 were to be killed. So this is one of those killing of innocents or babies has been going on for a while.
Yeah, and the problem is, how do we get more bold, more dedicated to the effort, but yet not cross the line ourselves into actions that would be unacceptable? In other words, Steve Voss said it best. He has a song about somebody's going to die today, and he talks about this guy that's just so sick of the abortions, he goes in and blows up an abortion clinic or whatever. That isn't the answer, folks. I get the frustration. I understand it. But look, peaceful solutions are the only answer. And I think it starts with the media, the new media taking center stage and telling the truth. Because I think the truth shall set us free. And I think education is so critical and so important. And that's why a lot of times when people want to take radical action and they look to us for guidance, we're like, not doing that. And then others will say, well, you guys just aren't dedicated to the cause. You guys just aren't patriots. My response is, no, we are patriots. We just understand the appropriate balance. Okay? And there is a line. There is a time to fight. There is a time to pray. I usually, spend my time doing both. But there is a way to peacefully go about the solutions, and that's what we advocate for. So let me give you an example of one point that I want to make that really tells the truth for a change. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention. You know who they are, right, Kurt? They report that heart disease is the leading cause of death in America. However, the quote elective determination, or I'm sorry, the elective termination of preborn children in the womb kills almost twice as many Americans as heart disease does, Kurt. Not only is abortion the leading cause of death in America, but it is responsible for, Kurt, 1 in 3 deaths every year. Abortion may be, quote, legal, but it is neither safe nor rare. And its destructive impacts on relationships, the family, not to mention a person's mental, physical, and spiritual health, and the fabric of our society are incalculable. Although America has, quote, constructed dozens of systems to help, quote, rescue human beings from death and harm, fire departments, the military, emergency rooms, hospital, FEMA, etc. At-risk preborn children remain the only people or group, if you will, without a national, well-funded, high-quality rescue system. And yet there's a multi-billion dollar industry or system illegally killing them. And it's led by the $1.5 billion behemoth Planned Parenthood organization. Anyway, we need to grow a national rescue system for preborn children and their families. And sadly, it has racial overtones, too. Not that I really want to double down into the racial discussion right now, but I'm just saying they kill more blacks than any other race in these abortion mills. It is tragic, folks. Anyway, abortion is the leading cause of death in 2018, with 41 million murdered. I mean, it is just horrible. It's horrific. And I wish we could do more to stop it. We've done everything we can. And we'll continue to use any influence we have to triple down in defense of pro-life, folks. All right. Kurt wants to talk about gas prices. They say gas prices are, like, really low, but, man, I go to the pump. It's not happening for me, Kurt.
Well, it's pretty interesting to me right here in the area where we live. You can go from, pretty much about $2.40 to right down $2.15 if you go to the right places, you know. And I don't mean where you have to have a membership.
Yeah, but most people are paying, you know, $2.60, $2.70, $2.80. Like
uh-huh.
You know. It's interesting. Whenever I hear these gas buddy prices and these lowest prices, it's not anywhere I'm at. You know, I find that interesting. So what do you think, Kurt? Can we just, is it low to you? Is it good gas prices for you?
Well, like I said, in this, within several miles of me where I see as I drive around in the honey machine, I'm seeing as high as about 240 and as low as about 215. And so it's amazing to me the difference right where I live, you know.
Yeah. I wish there was a way to know what the closest gas station to you is and what the price is, you know?
I think that's what the gas buddy guys try to do, but I don't know.
It's too far.
Well,
what's the average in the nation?
I just look. See, I don't know that either, Sam.
Oh, yeah, all right. Exactly. I was hoping Kurt would look all that up and have a whole presentation ready for me on this thing.
Yeah.
But they say here's why gas prices are falling, and they say why you shouldn't get used to it, Kurt.
Well, yeah, at least it makes sense to me. You shouldn't get used to the exact same thing simply because, hey, they change, you know. They go up and down. All depends on a number of things. They never point out the fact that if we had honest money, it would probably be able to follow it a little easier. They say nine states
are enjoying it. It would be a little less fluctuation, wouldn't it, Kurt?
Well, I think so. They say nine states are enjoying gas prices below $2. Prices overall have fallen for most of the past 90 days. That's according to the AAA boys. Tom Cloza, he's the global head of energy analysis at fuel price service Opis. O-P-I-S. I've heard of OPEC, but not Opis. Explained that refiners are moving to more profitable diesel, heating oil, and jet fuel production away from gasoline. They say the sharp fall in crude oil in 2018 has helped put some extra money in consumers' pockets in the form of falling gas prices. So, there's your data.
All right, I got 238, 232, 215 all around me at my house. So that's good news, you know. But I'll give you my opinion of why we can't get used to lower gas prices and why they won't stay stable and why they won't stay low in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Claiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, according to Gas Buddy, they do it by state, Kurt, you know, and it's $2.60 a gallon is the average Utah gas price, just so you know.
Yeah, I'll give you a little more detail on, you know, the highest and lowest when it comes to the states, according to AAA. You know, do you want the highest or the lowest first? Yeah.
The highest is what, Alaska or California?
Well, they say the West Coast, motorists in the West Coast region continue to pay the highest pump prices in the nation, with all the region's states landing on the nation's top 10 most expensive list. Hawaii 341 is the nation's most expensive market.
Oh, yeah.
They say followed by California at 338, Washington 313, Alaska 307, Nevada 296, Oregon 298, and Arizona 268.
What does it show Utah to be on AAA?
Well, they show it in the Rockies area. They call it gas prices for drivers in the Rocky Mountain region have dropped steadily over the past week. Increased refinery runs helped boost regional supply, they say. They say currently three states in the region are on the top 10 list of the largest declines for the week. That's Montana down 11 cents, Wyoming down 9, and Idaho down 9. Now, they say that...
So they don't have an average number for that?
Well, not on there, but they do say that in the Northeast is one of the most expensive regions in the country. I think it's just right behind the West Coast thing that we were looking at with Hawaii and California. You got Connecticut, New York, Washington, Vermont, Massachusetts, all of them in the 15 most expensive markets in the country. Now, the South and the Southeast, they say, is where most drivers continue to enjoy some of the cheapest prices in the nation due to their proximity, they say, to major Gulf Coast refineries and having some of the lowest state gasoline taxes in the country. They say currently six states in the region are seeing average prices below $2 per gallon. You got South Carolina, $1.97, Alabama, $1.97, Arkansas, $1.97. Anyway, it goes on there.
Yeah, anyway, for us, it's a lot more expensive. It's like $2.60 a gallon, you know, on the average in Utah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think, if you go to Gas Buddy, isn't that what we started out with? They say the average in Utah is $2.60 a gallon, you know. Just a little bit better than Arizona.
This story was all AAA, you know, sourced or whatever, but it all depends. And the point is that we want to bring up is if we had honest money, what would the price really be and how would it change? But there's also the point that at least is brought up, you know, in parts there, is when states charge their citizens through taxes and or regulation, that's not brought up in these stories, then that's where you see the highest cost.
I agree. And those are the two points that I was going to make up is that, you know, you got federal gas tax or national gas tax, you got state and local gas taxes. And look, tax is a significant portion of your gas. And I get a little bit, I'm not against appropriate taxes that are constitutional. If you use the roads, you ought to pay something, right? And so I have no problem with it being on the spend end. Is that the right word? Of the tax equation, as opposed to, you know, taxing your savings or taxing everybody. Because, look, it's anonymity. You know what? I don't need to worry about it. I just pay, and they collect it, and they pay for the roads. And that's legitimate. They don't need my personal details. And it's on the spend end. If I don't have the money to travel, I don't travel, okay, kind of thing. I like that aspect, and I think it is constitutional for those taxes. I just think that they're too high. And then they combine them with all kinds of other taxes that concerns me. The other problem that I have is all these regulations, as you point to, Kurt, where, like, you know, you have a winter formula for gas and a summer formula for gas. And you got government in the middle of all this stuff about, you know, the regulation of things. And I believe that's a significant portion of the cost of gas. I know this, man. I remember being a kid and my dad wasn't. He said, you know what? If gas goes above 58 cents a gallon, I'm not buying it anymore. Well, he certainly bought gas after that. But my point is that, hey, when I was a kid, you know, with clear memory of it, and so I don't know, I must have been 10, 12 something years old. So that would be like in 78 or whatever, 77, 76 kind of range in the, you know, late 70s or whatever. I remember clearly, hey, gas was, you know, and now it's what, five times that, Kurt, or four times that at least?
Yeah, I remember. It's, you know, around 20 cents a gallon. And so, you know, now we're talking about 10 times that amount or, you know, somewhere in that range. But it was interesting to me to see, they say the 10 least expensive markets, you got Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, South Carolina, Texas, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Kansas, and Iowa. And you'd have a hard time not arguing that those are some of the freest, least taxed, you know, most freedom-loving areas in the country.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
What I want to ask you, this other simple question is, where do you think those prices would be if President Trump and so many, you know, at least working with him, hadn't promoted the idea of hey, doing things here in America and, you know, getting the oil and, you know, the things like that here. I believe those prices would be way higher.
Yeah, number one, they'd be a lot higher. Number two, they'd be a whole lot more volatile, Kurt, because whenever you depend on foreign interest and, you know, like the OPEC cartels and some of these kind of things, and you leave yourself way more open or subject to outside intentional manipulations, right? So yeah, there's no doubt about that.
These articles don't even point out the fact that we're now exporting, producing more than we're bringing in, which is pretty amazing in our
lifetime. Well, if that's the case, my response is, why would we bring in any?
Long time. Well, that's right. I don't know if we are for sure, but I know that when you look at the world market, they say that the OPEC boys, they certainly don't run the show anymore like they used to.
Well, that's true, and that's good news. It's a start. So, you know, the Energy Department, Kurt, was back in the 70s created to solve this problem, and now that the problem's solved, I'm thinking we ought to abolish that sucker.
Amen. ASAP.
I mean, there's hope.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Honest money is the answer every time. All right, let's talk about the Chosen TV series, Kurt.
Well, yeah, it's and that's the actual name of it. It's called The Chosen.
The Chosen, yes, sir.
And it's not like you chose it, but it's called The Chosen. It's a TV series based on Jesus' life. By the way, in case you missed the info about it, like I had, it's the number one most crowdfunded film project ever. I guess the guys at CNN and NBC and ABC and all that kind of stuff missed this news item. I kind of kid around about that, but I think the bottom line is they don't want to talk about it, Sam. What do you think?
Why would they? And they don't like Christ. They don't want to talk about Christ. Same thing with the Gosnell movie. Hey, it's one of the top grossing movies in terms of crowdfunding as well. It might be behind this. I'm not here to debate which is more. But, hey, who knew about The Chosen TV series and who knew about the Gosnell movie? Both of them couldn't get funding from, I don't know what you want to call it, traditional methods. And so they went out and they said, we're going to crowdfund this thing. And we had to go to the Christian Post for this news, right?
That's
Jeannie
right.
Law or whatever is the author of this article. And you go to the Christian Post and you find out about this. And I'm just going, man, where's the mainstream press? The answer is they don't want to cover this. Because you want to know why,
mostly,
Kurt?
Yeah.
Well, what if the American people knew how well we were doing with crowdfunding and how good people are going to the what do they call that, the silent majority? I mean, this is certainly the case, right? And literally, we're crowdfunding this. This is what the people want. There's no debate about it. It's a literal mandate. But they can't let everybody know about that mandate because then we might create 10 films like it, 20 films like it, 30 films. And then people might actually move the needle to pro-life, and people might actually talk about the Savior Jesus Christ and the value of his mission and how people would start testifying of Christ. You'd get a religious revival. Glenn Beck was working on one of those, Kurt, by the way, and saying we needed one. And I think he's right on that. And so what would happen? You'd start to get a religious revival. You'd get people to say, hey, I'm not the only one around here that believes in Christ. Hey, you know what? We can fund movies. We can make movies ourselves. We can have the good guy step it. We just got to double down and deliver. They don't want that to get off the ground, Kurt. And that's exactly what will happen if enough people know about it. That's why we want to tell the tale, by the way.
That's right. And, how many people know about the Washington Post and yet how few know about ChristianPost.com. So
that's a great point.
The bottom line is they put together 5.7 million, it looks like, in investor pledges, and they say, we're proud to let you know The Chosen is now the number one crowdfunded media project of all time.
I dig it. By the way, did you know another big nation is moving their embassy to Jerusalem? Kurt's got the details in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999. Or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we call it news the networks refuse to use for a reason, because we talk about things they don't talk about. And when we talk about things they're talking about, we have a constitutional, a God, family, country, a life, liberty, and property perspective to everything we talk about. The other difference is we don't back away from the hard truths. We even admit when liberals are right. We admit when conservatives are right. Well, look, we don't back people. We talk about principles and do our best to stand on the proper side or the moral side of principles every single time. And the Chosen TV series, based on the life of Jesus Christ, is the number one crowd-funded film project ever. Did you know that? That's right. You got to go to the Christian Post to find that out. Good news, by the way. Another big nation is moving an embassy to Jerusalem. Okay, these are things that the mainstream press just won't tell you about. Or if they do tell you about it, they'll put it in a negative light, right? That's the other way they'll go. If they're forced to admit something, then they'll try to put a negative focus or spin on it. We don't do that, folks. We want to stand with the truth every time. And it takes a lot of work to ferret out these stories and put them in proper context and perspective. That's for sure. Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. And this piece comes to us from WorldNet Daily. And, you know, basically they say... the Brazilian president-elect Jair Bolsonaro will move his country's embassy to Jerusalem. That's what the Prime Minister Brit Benjamin Netanyahu announced, and that was during a meeting with Jewish leaders in Rio de Janeiro. Mr. Bolsonaro said, "I will move the embassy to Jerusalem. It's not a question of if, just a question of when."
And how
the Israeli leader, right? Yeah, of course, the Israeli leader added, President Trump said the same thing. He moved the embassy, and President Bolsonaro will move the embassy as well. He accepted my invitation to visit Israel in the coming months, and he's going to do it. He said by March, and I look forward to receiving him with the same spirit and the same brotherhood that he received me and that you are receiving us. Brotherhood, all that kind of stuff sounds peaceful. Anyway, I guess, by the way, Sam, the other ones that besides Brazil that have already moved the embassy there are, of course, the United States and Guatemala. They say in addition to these embassy moves, a number of nations have recognized Jerusalem or portions thereof as Israel's capital, including Russia and Australia, among others.
And I want to kind of explain this too. A lot of people are either for Israel, Kurt, and anything you say about Israel, they're like, blasphemy, you're the enemy. Or they're like against Israel. And I have a different take on this whole thing, Kurt. I am for the biblical Israel. I am for nations returning to greatness. I am for people returning to their homelands. I am for homelands for the peoples of the earths. And I know they would say that's racist, but I don't think so. And I am also for the proper restoration of all things under the God Almighty. But I am not for the illegal acts or the abuses of governments that try to take those terms or those ideas and make it their own. So, for example, when the government of Israel takes down the USS Liberty, or tries to at least, okay, I'm not going to protect Israel and say that's Israel. That's the biblical Israel. That's not the same thing, Kurt. And so oftentimes governments manipulate the people's thinking on topics and go under this guise of they're religiously protected or whatever else, and they perform very heinous acts and do things that are wrong. I don't support that. And so we need to have a distinction there a little bit too, in terms of what are we backing and what are we not backing. I'm not going to back false flag illegal actions by governments. I don't care who they are. Israel, the United States. I believe both countries do have a covenant with God history, right? And so we need to be very careful when we talk about this, that people don't get confused of what we're saying and what we're not saying. And so I don't support illegal activity by any governments, and I don't support the abuse of citizens. I don't support wrong actions under the guise of religion. At the same time, I do realize that nations do have covenants with God, and God does bless his people, and people do have homelands. And the return of peoples to those homelands is prophesied scripturally and otherwise, and is right and proper. But that doesn't mean that all the actions by those governments are right and proper, for instance. And so, kind of like the Zionism term, you know, I'm not against belligerent government Zionism racial discussions per se. I'm not for that. At the same time, I do believe that Zion is kind of a peace in heart term, and Zion is kind of the Lord's kingdom on the earth. And you can get very confused with words if you take them singularly. And you can get very upside down on this discussion if you're not very careful. It's very complex. But I want to be very clear. I don't support any wrong actions by government under the guise of religion or guise of prophecy or historical relevance in that sense. If they're going to commit wrong acts, I'm against them based on principle. However, I do support the biblical viewpoint of restoring peoples to their homelands and God's view of this, and I don't want to fight against that. There's a balance there that's hard to kind of break down and articulate for people, but I think it's worth trying to explain and educate. Kurt, any thoughts on that?
I don't have anything else to add.
What do you think? Does that make any sense, though?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Anyway, I just think a lot of times people get confused and they're just like, oh, man, Israel's the big enemy. Or no, Israel, man, I'm just telling you right now, what's wrong with you? We're Judeo-Christians and you got to protect Israel. It's biblical. See, I don't think that 100% black and white kind of discussion on this makes sense, personally.
Good guys are good guys and bad guys are bad guys.
That is correct.
They are.
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes the good guys are bad guys unintentionally.
Yeah.
And sometimes even bad guys do some good things. And when they do, we need to, you know, talk about the good that's done anywhere. And most importantly, if you look at the, Saul Paul experience, then you begin to understand that sometimes bad guys turn into good guys, Kurt.
Yeah.
And we pray for that to happen everywhere.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Anyway, that's pretty interesting. Another big nation moves embassy to Israel, or to... Yeah, to Jerusalem. I think that's, for the most part, good news, because I do think that it's starting to fulfill some biblical, it's moves towards biblical prophecies being fulfilled, right, Kurt?
I think so.
I think there's some truth to that. I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. All right. There's a very well-known liberal. Her name is Ellen Ratner. A lot of people are not familiar with her, but she's very known, well-known in the liberal circles. And she's extreme, and she's a lesbian, and these kind of things. However... You know what? She is a very nice person. And it's amazing. We get along sometimes better with people like this, Kurt, than we do with people that are supposedly in our own camp. Sadly, that's interesting. But I've been able to spend personal time with Ellen Ratner. And I'm telling you, she's a very nice person. And she is a person that is genuine in her beliefs. Now, as misguided as I might believe them to be, she is genuine in her beliefs. And she... Interestingly enough, doesn't melt down, Kurt, and want to fight just because we have different beliefs. She's okay letting us think what we like, and, you know, she believes in the freedom of speech. And I got to commend her because she's able to keep relationships even though we completely disagree on topics. And that's a rare person, Kurt.
Yeah.
And I say good honor for it. Anyway, she's got some predictions for, what, 2018? Wait a minute. How do you predict that? It's over. All right, actually, she did some predictions at the start of the year, right?
Yeah, they say, well, I think it was probably supposed to be headline 2019. It says, Happy New Year. The staff of Talk Media News makes predictions for the coming year as we bid goodbye to a very tumultuous year in the nation's capital. We look ahead to what could transpire in 2019.
But I'm going to change the headline to 2019 then.
Yeah, good point. And so she goes through a number of different things. What I was kind of wondering if, you know, maybe you could think about this as I'm reading a few of these, but, you know, what are your predictions for 2019, Sam? But she says, doctors will determine that Donald Trump's bizarre tweets are related to both physical and mental health issues that prevent him from carrying out his duties as president of the United States. The 25th Amendment will be invoked.
Let me stop you there.
Pence
will become president. It all depends on what you believe his duties are, Kurt.
That's right.
See, these socialists believe that his duties are to spend us into oblivion, to promote pro-death policies, to, you know, do all these things. I don't believe that's the proper role of the president at all. So, you know, what we have is a fundamental disagreement or understanding of what we believe the president's role and responsibilities are. You want to know where I would look to define his role and responsibilities, Kurt?
Okay.
You don't know where I'd look, Kurt?
In the Constitution?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah.
Imagine that.
But I don't think that's what they're willing to look and do. They're just like, hey, the president's supposed to be, you know, speaking to the troops on Christmas Day. And if he doesn't, he's a bad guy. And if he does, he shouldn't have made it political. And if he does and he does the right thing, then, hey, Melania wore the wrong hair bun or whatever the heck. You know what I mean? They just can't win, Kurt. It doesn't matter what you do. You just can't win with these people. But I think we really need to look to the supreme law of the land if we want to know what the president's responsibilities and role is, or responsibilities are and role is, right? That's where I think we ought to look for guidance on that. All right, what else does she say here, Kurt?
Well, that's her, you know, take. Then she tells about several other people. These are all, you know, kind of along her line. She says the Robert Mueller thing will be delivered, and then you know, the basically the president will resign when he learns that members of his family will be indicted in the special counsel's Russia probe, and then, you know, these are not all her things. These are from different people that she's got here. But, you know, she's pointing out that, hey, all these things she thinks are going to happen, or they think, these people she hangs out with. For example, one of them says the economy continues to decline, growing at less than 1% in 2019. Congress is stalemated between Senate Republicans and House Democrats, and nothing gets done. You know, anyway, I just view these things as pretty much what the left would hope for. I don't see these things as really.
Yeah, so is it as much of a prediction list of what she really thinks are happening, or kind of a talking point promotion focus on list to try to accomplish?
Yeah, that's what she thinks, and those of her friends think for 2019.
All right.
That's what I was wondering, what you thought would happen.
All right, so let's do this. Let's wrap up this hour. Next hour, we'll launch into what I think. It'll be a little different than Ellen Rappner's, by the way, Kurt. But I think that, you know, I've got a couple of predictions and a couple of concerns and a couple of ideas of my own. Got a few from Ron Paul. Of course, Kurt can toss in his viewpoints and stuff like that. I'll tell you where I'm worried. I'll tell you where I think that there's opportunity and what I think is the most important for us to focus on. So, you know, I don't know that I'm a prophet or a predictor per se, but I do think we've got a pretty good idea what to expect. And I think we'll talk about that some. We'll talk about what we hope, just like Ellen's done. We just come from a perspective that is focused on God, family, and country. Our goal in the process is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. And those six words, ladies and gentlemen, the promote and protect, and then the God, family, country, life, liberty, property, will be the focus of our hopes for 2019. And we'll tell you where our fears and our concerns are, also where we believe we have opportunities to make hay, so to speak. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt, we are live the day after New Year's Day. And tell all your friends, spread the word. If you have the heart to help, the new media is taking center stage, and every penny we could use it. Donate today, libertyroundtable.com, to the Widow's Might Radio Network, would you please? We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.